Sanctuary cities, a term that you don't actually hear in Canada. It's been a very big political issue in the U.S. Sanctuary cities, cities that essentially say it doesn't matter if you are a legal or illegal immigrant, we are going to give you whatever services we offer as a city to citizens, we're going to give them to you. And this is something that Toronto has decided to declare itself, that if you want to access city services, and including a lot of provincial services that are administered at the city level, doesn't matter if you are there legally or not, you'll do it. Now, Councillor Tanya Park has said that she wants to discuss making London a sanctuary city. She hasn't outlined what that would look like to her. She's merely said that London needs to be a city free of discrimination, persecution, yada, yada, yada. And what's concerning about this is that now she's asked staff, city staff, and council unanimously endorsed this, by the way, to look into what would it take to make London a sanctuary city. It means we'd have to start, assuming they follow the Toronto model and the model in the U.S., not caring if someone's here legally before we give them taxpayer money, for whatever the case may be. Now, what's interesting here is that this is not necessarily uncharted territory. I was tipped off a little while ago to a particular health center that was already operating on a so-called sanctuary model, it seems like. To talk about this, I wanted to welcome to the program Freedom Party of Ontario leader Paul McKeever. Paul, great to talk to you again. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, quite happy to do it, Manny.
So when we talk about sanctuary cities here, right, this is really a lipstick on a pig name, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, this is basically local councillors trying to score some political points by proposing that the whole federal regime of immigration and refugee status is circumvented so that they can allow and help people avoid getting deported. That's what it's all about. In Toronto, for example, they tell you about library services. I don't think anyone's hair on anyone's neck is getting up about that. But it goes further than this. You see, the police, when they have interactions with people, there are thousands upon thousands of calls that they make to Canada Border Services to make inquiries about people's status, you know, undocumented people. And a lot of these people get deported, about 35 a day from Canada get deported, partly due to police making inquiries when they discover that someone probably is not a refugee, an immigrant, or otherwise a Canadian citizen.
Which, just on that note, reinforces what we've seen in a lot of stats in Canada that say illegal immigrants are more likely to be involved in crime in the first place.
Well, put it this way, if you're in Canada and you're a refugee, then apply for refugee status. If you're in Canada and you're an immigrant, apply for immigration. If you are hiding in the bushes and not applying, what does that tell you? You're not eligible. And why are you not eligible? Well, because either you've already applied and you've been rejected, or one of the other reasons could be you've in another country probably committed a crime or a human rights violation, which is that strikes you out. You don't get refugee status if you're involved in that kind of stuff. So our counselors are saying, hey, who cares if a person's committed a crime or a human rights violation in another country? We're going to give all these people the coverage that they need. And in Toronto, it took the form, for example, of requesting a don't ask, don't tell policy. So the police, you know, they want pressure, put pressure on the police not to find out if the person's there in Canada illegally and not to tell the Canada Border Services, which to me is a conspiracy between the town and the folks who are trying to stay here illegally to circumvent the federal system.
Yeah, and one thing that I find to be really baffling about that is that if these people are completely problem-causing individuals to police and to other resources, we should want to get rid of them from the country if they aren't going through and haven't gone through the proper channels.
Well, clearly, I mean, keep in mind a lot of the people that we might be talking about here, if they have committed human rights violations, for example, or crimes in another country, and that's why they're not applying for refugee status, these people might be the very kind of people that legitimate refugees and immigrants living in London came to Canada to avoid, to get, you know, and here they are being followed to Canada by the very kinds of people who persecuted them in their other country. It's a duty of the federal government and of the local police to make sure that everybody who's here is safe and secure, and that the people's past from, you know, the countries they've left, the persecution they've left, isn't following them here.
There was a push in Toronto not too long ago where a small group of councillors were actually pushing for a municipal identification card in Toronto so that you could actually give someone who wasn't here legally paperwork so that they never had to deal with not having a SIN, not having a driver's license, not having an Ontario license of any kind.
Yeah, you know, none of this. See, a municipality has absolutely no legal authority except what is given to it by the province, mm-hmm. pursuant to statute. So, to my mind, when these cities take it upon themselves to interfere with the immigration and refugee status system, which is what they're doing, and they're, in fact, helping out people who have no legal right to be here, in violation of federal law, I would argue, they are doing something that they have no authority to do. This motion by Tanya Park and the rest of the councillors the other day, I would argue, is completely without any lawful authority. The province doesn't delegate to the cities the right to make policy or law concerning covering up for illegals. That's not a legitimate function of the municipal government.
No, but it's also a recurring theme in London, where council seems to want to delve into these virtue signaling exercises and these policies that fall outside of the municipal mandate. But I wanted to go to something that you had tipped me off about. I think it was a couple of years ago or last year at the very least, which was an infrastructure that already seemed to be in place, not on everything, but where people who did not have status were able to access government services.
Yeah, so what was happening there, it was interesting, this was a few years back, there's a whole system of local centers, health centers, that are funded by the province, millions and millions of dollars. They're spotted all through Ontario, and they usually have a theme. So, for example, in Cornwall, there's one for Francophones. I think there are several that are for Natives. In Toronto, there's a really peculiar one that's for black women from the islands. I'm not sure what the particular health needs are there, but there you go. There's some that are, I think are LGBTQ, etc. And I could not for the life of me figure out what the London one was, so I called them. I made a few inquiries, and all of a sudden they hung up the phone. So I called the Ministry of Health, and I was speaking to, at the time, it was McGuinty's policy person, and I asked her, well, what would that particular health clinic be, you know, what's the population they're serving? And she literally said to me over the phone, she said, well, that would be illegal aliens. And I said...
A government representative said this.
She said this to me. I was stunned. And so I thought, okay, so what they're saying is that they're knowingly funding a health clinic because otherwise these people would be found out if they went to the hospital or to a legitimate, you know, doctor clinic.
Well, and we're not, and I think it's an important distinction here, because we're not even talking about someone who's in here illegally, who happens to get a heart attack, gets rushed to the ER, when I think every reasonable person would say, yes, let's treat them and deal with it after. We're talking about a clinic where people can go just at any point.
Sure. You know, you've got some kind of, maybe you've adopted a disease or something, you've come down with something, you can go in there, have a doctor look at you, get a prescription, get drugs, and, you know, we won't ask and we won't tell that, why are you even here, and you're not a taxpayer. I mean, who's employing these people? Where's their social insurance number? How, are they paying taxes? Why is council bent on helping these people stay when all they would have to do if they're legit is apply for refugee status or immigration status? To me, it's a corruption of the system, and the municipality has no right to be involved in this.
And when we talk about that jurisdictional authority, I mean, what sorts of city services are we really talking about here? I know daycare is one, childcare in cities that subsidize that is always brought up, and affordable housing, which is a big one as well, because you've got waiting lists for affordable housing, and if now you have people that can access that, get government subsidies who aren't here legally, I mean, things like Ontario Works could conceivably fall under this as well, because they're city administered.
Well, yeah, and we're talking large numbers of people. Like Toronto, I think it's an estimated 200,000 people are in Toronto that are not refugees, that are not immigrants, that are not Canadian citizens in
any other way. And that's 10% of the population. We move that to a London context, that's about 35,000.
It's tens of thousands, that's right. And so why on earth are we helping people who have no right to be here with taxpayer funds to live here, giving them free health care, free shelter, free perhaps transportation, or at least subsidize?
But where's your compassion, Paul? That's what this comes down to, right? We're just too heartless to see the bigger picture.
My compassion is for every refugee, immigrant, and otherwise Canadian citizen here who's just paying their taxes, working, they're doing everything by the book, and being told by counselors and whatnot that, well, guess what? We're going to take some of your money and give it to people who have no right to be here. I mean, why not just send it to Iceland? It'd be the same thing.
It really would, and we're talking about something that is very distinct. When Tanya Park presented this, and obviously there's a possibility here that she doesn't even know what a sanctuary city is. She doesn't even know what the word means. She just thinks it sounds nice because she's seen other cities talk about doing it before. But when she talks about this and presents this idea, it's one that's framed as, this is how we can make sure that we're a safe space for refugees. Well, we already are. We're already bringing in publicly and privately funded and sponsored refugees. We're already letting these people live here. We're already offering services and resettlement services to immigrants that have come here. Anything other than that has to be targeting an audience that isn't essentially aided by the status quo. And the only possibility for that is the ones we've been talking about, the non-status types or undocumented types or illegal types, to use it accurately.
That's right. And every penny we spend on the illegals, we're not spending on helping to settle refugees and immigrants and et cetera. And we're not keeping them safe when they get here. If we're bringing in people who wouldn't qualify, perhaps because they've committed crimes or human rights violations in other countries, how can you say that we're making them safe, that we're being compassionate? We're not being very compassionate to the people who are coming here trying to escape those countries, or to the rest of the Canadians living in the area. That's not showing any compassion at all.
Yeah, and a lot of these people are, well, not all, a lot of them, all of them, they have to be working under the table because they don't have sins. They have to be either turning to crime or turning to employers that are paying for them under the table. Either way, this is not an attitude that we want to be reinforcing.
Right, and hey, let's not kid ourselves. We've always seen the TV shows and the movies where someone's got Matilda from Mexico. She's completely undocumented, and they're abusing her, and they're not paying her, and et cetera. So we're actually setting up a system where people could take advantage of the fact that these people are undocumented and mistreat them.
Yeah, that's a point that I didn't even want to think of and hadn't gone down that road. But if we are talking about the broader issue of public safety, we're not really doing much of a service to the people who are supposedly benefiting from this either.
No. Andrew, that this thing will turn to a don't ask, don't tell policy with respect to policing. I think that's where it's all going. And I think that would be a real problem, not only jurisdictionally, because it's completely, in my view, unconstitutional, but I think it's an interference with the safety and security of Canada and of its immigration and refugee status system.
What have we actually seen transpire on the law enforcement side of this in other cities?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Do you mean in terms of...
I just mean what have they really done to... Has it just been when cities have embraced that law enforcement approach that they've just completely said, all right, we're not going to ask, you're not going to tell us, we're never going to report anyone to immigration?
You know, I'm not sure of the... I mean, the most recent report I've seen was actually a report in the Toronto Star from about, must have been 2015, November. And there they were saying that it was a request being made to police. I'm not sure if the police have knuckled under on that. I can't imagine they'd want to. Their job, they know, is to keep us all safe. And if they've got a guy there, they don't know who he is, and he won't say, and he doesn't have any documents, and he doesn't work anywhere, what's the next step? Of course they have to call Canadian Border Services and make an inquiry, especially because if this guy's a criminal, you know, they've got a duty to uphold.
Paul McKeever joining me on the line now live. He is the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. Paul, thanks for your work on this and for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew.
I've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the sanctuary cities idea, but I also want to delve into the voting and electoral change abandonment that we've seen and why it's not all bad. That's coming up in just a couple of moments on The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.